Much. It's so good to come before God in worship, isn't it? And it's so good to bring our prayers to Him as well. Brilliant. If you're a guest with us this morning for the first time or visiting again, my name's Andrew and I'm the lead pastor here. And it's just a privilege to have you with us, and we pray God will speak with you. We're taking a break this morning from our Luke series. Just to think about what God is like. We'll be back in Luke next week and we'll go right through to resurrection and beyond. But for today, it's like one of those perennial questions that human beings find themselves asking. If God exists, what is He like? If God exists, what is He like? One small four-year-old was totally absorbed in his artwork. And when asked by his teacher what he was doing, he said, "Oh, I'm drawing God." Now, the teacher said, "But nobody knows what God looks like." And the boy simply replied, "They will when I'm done." Which is like, I like it. Author and actor Monica Parker, she was really intrigued to find out how children see God. So she asked 300 children, all right, aged between 4 and 10 years old, and the replies that came in inspired a whole book. For example, Gabby, aged 9, said this. She said, "God has giant ears so that He can hear everything that we are saying." Giant ears. I like that. Abby, also 9, from New York, she had a bit of advice for the deity. God needs someone to take His picture so we'd know what He looks like. Maybe God could do a selfie, she said. Whoa, maybe God could do a selfie. The Bible would say, well, it tells us God has. Jesus, His own words were saying, well, if you want to know what the Father in heaven is like, look at me. At John 14, verse 9, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. He shows us. In fact, the whole of the Bible gives us this unfolding selfie of what God is like and how He interacts with all that He's made, including human beings. So when God grabs hold of our hearts and we say yes to Him and we're following Jesus, we look to follow His example in all things. So for example, when we pray as He taught. Father. Father, what a revelation. Some of us, as we've said, find that really hard when our life experiences of a father who was absent or neglectful or who caused profound hurt. Often think, never right. Things are never right. And yet Paul, he's writing to the early Christians in the letters recorded in our New Testament, and he talks about that working of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in the heart of someone who has come to Christ following Him. He talks about how the Spirit within us works in a way, liberates us, frees us, heals us, enables us to relate to God as Abba, Father. Comes a couple of letters, Romans 8, 15, Galatians 4, verse 6. Abba, it's like this intimate term. Today we might say dad or papa or something like that. And calling God Abba reflects this image that Jesus is giving us. He does it in so many ways. He told a story. And there he tells a story about a father who's like God, this father who's longing and watching for a lost son. He sees this son returning and defies all cultural expectations due to his status. He just picks up his cloak, runs. A father who embraces, a father who kisses, who receives, who restores. What an image. We have an image through Jesus' teaching of the Father who knows us intimately, who wants to give good gifts to His children, great images and so on. And the vast majority of the images and picture language about God in the Bible are masculine. God as king, God as Father, God as Shepherd, God as Warrior, God as Husband, Judge, and so much more. And that probably reflects the times in which they were written. But on this Mothering Sunday, as we think about what God is like, and maybe have a look at the selfie that he has provided for us, we're going to look at places in the Bible where God describes himself using maternal images. God is like this. And I tell you, as we do that, we'll find ourselves reflecting on God's unconditional love and the depth and the breadth of it. As we think about God who gives birth, who nurses and cares, who gathers and powerfully protects and yet pushes us out of the comfort zone, watching over us. So well, let's do that, shall we? And we want to be faithful to what it is to be God's image, that how God portrays himself. If you wind right back to the very beginning, Genesis, the creation account, humankind is created in God's image. And we're told, Genesis 1:27, male and female, he created them. It's like to know the fullness of what it is to be in God's image involves both male and female. We need each other. And likewise, to have that fullest selfie of what God is like, to capture the fullness of God's selfie, it's really powerful to look at both male images that we're given and female ones too, that are there in the Bible that point to aspects of God and what God is like. Because God is God. God is neither male nor female. God is God. But these images help us to know him and relate with him. As I say, it's trying to be faithful to how God portrays himself. So we're going to look at some of those images, this unconditional love. And first, God carries you like a mother. God carries you like a mother. I am married to Lorraine, who was doing bits earlier in the service. And I remember when we were expecting a baby for the first time and Lorraine was carrying the child within. There are great fun moments, a first kick and all those kind of stuff. And there are poignant moments and where you pray for this little child within. Moments of awe and responsibility. Oh my goodness, you know, this developing life that we're going to be responsible for. And most of all, there's that sense of protective care. Now, God speaks through the prophet Isaiah to remind his people what his relationship is with them. And it's like that. Let's turn, if you will, to Isaiah 46. You might be following on your phone with the Bible app provided by YouVersion. If you go to your profile and events, you've got the outline there. Isaiah, God, this is God speaking to his people. Listen to me. You, whom I have upheld since your birth and have carried since you were born, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. Now, the literal translation of carried you since you were born is carried from the womb. And this sense, God tells them that they are his people. He's carried and birthed them from the womb. Such an intimate, motherly image that God uses of himself. It's like saying his love is womb-like. And so what does that tell us about how God sees us and tends to us? Well, one writer puts it like this. A womb's a place of warmth and safety and quiet. There is perhaps no more intimate relationship than a mother who's carrying a baby in her womb, she says. That baby is constantly being nourished, held, rocked by the mum's movement and lulled to sleep by her mother's heartbeat. The womb is the safest possible environment for a developing, vulnerable baby. That's what we'd like to be. And God portrays himself as one with a womb-like love that carries his people, carries us, always in his heart. It's funny, just in pastoral ministry, talking to mums of children aged 6 months, 6 years, or 66 years, honestly, All of them seem to have this ongoing sense of carrying. They carry their children. Their children are never far from their mind, never far from their prayers, wanting what's healthy for them. And we see that here in the way God speaks about his care for his people. Verse 4 again, even to you in your old age and grey hairs, if you get as far as grey hairs, I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. It's this unconditional love. There are no strings attached, no conditions. He loves you because he's carried you into the world and he's carried you and given you life. And he carries you right now and he carries you right through to the end in the coming weeks and months and years. So the question that we can just pause for a moment, say, in what area of my life right now, is that an important truth to take hold of in your life? That God is carrying you right now. And he has this intimate, invested concern for your steps, your health, and your choices. Maybe you just lift that to him right now. The fact that he's carrying you in these times. Thank him that he knows. And thank you for that knowledge that he carries you and sustains you, whatever is being thrown at you, whatever's coming up, whatever's been going down. God carries you like a mother. Secondly, God cares enough to act. It's another image of unconditional love. Also within the prophet Isaiah chapter 49. And God speaking through this mouth, this human mouthpiece to his people. Verse 15 of chapter 49. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Isaiah 49, 15, 16. We could jump quite quickly to the palms of the hands because it makes us think about Jesus. I'll come back to that in a second. But it's not often we hear a sermon about breastfeeding being a parable of God's love for us, and yet it's a profound biblical truth. God portrays himself, compares his love for us to that of a nursing mother. When her child cries out in hunger, breastfeeding mother's body responds instinctively, almost involuntarily, I've been told, to her baby's need for nourishment, regardless of her own needs. You can analyze it. The nerves send a message to the brain, hormones and stuff are released, which then causes the milk to be produced. And the care the mum has turns into action because she's wanting to meet a need. Can a nursing mum forget the baby she's feeding and holding close? Will the mum have no compassion on the child of her womb? That's the question that God poses as he's speaking to his people. There's a play on word here in the original language. The word for compassion in Hebrew is rachamim. I can't say it properly. But anyway, it sounds like and has the same root as the word for womb, which is rechem. So if you wind back to Moses, and saying to God, show us your glory, back in Exodus chapter 34, God hides him in this kind of cleft, in this gap in a rock, and his glory passes by Moses. And what does God say? Well, we sang it this morning. The Lord, the Lord. It's the name that Moses knows. What he's known of God so far is, I am who I am. I am who I am. He repeats it, and then he says, compassionate, rachem. Rachem, this mercy, compassion. And the root, if you take the Hebrew, it's just same three letters are the same ones for womb. Rechem. So God's love is womb-like. His mercy, his compassion. Even if a mum happens to forget, God never will. A mum feeding in the middle watches of the night may nod off momentarily, but God doesn't. In fact, God never goes to sleep, the psalmist tells us. The image of the nursing mother, the caring and compassionate action of God extends into a picture that of Jesus here in the Isaiah prophecy of Jesus. It's a love that took him to the cross. Even if an earthly parent might forget a child, they hold close and feed. God will never will, for we are engraved on the hands of Jesus himself, the permanent marks of the nails of Calvary, the cross, declare forever in his resurrected body, his care, his action. God's care results in action. Do you have times when you cry out to God and you feel he turns away from you, that he doesn't care for you or is indifferent towards you? According to the Bible, nothing could be further from the truth. According to the Bible, what God says of himself, nothing could be further from the truth. I've just lost my sermon. That's a challenge, isn't it? Maybe God just wants us to pause and think on that. Can you hear that? You might feel abandoned, but nothing is further from the truth. When we cry out to God, God turns towards us in love. Far from forgetting or abandoning us, he's eager to tend to us. He acts out of an instinctive compassion and kindness. He's always got our best interests at heart, for he ultimately has acted in history to demonstrate that through the death of his son and the resurrection to life. Love more powerful even than that of a nursing mother. That's what I have for you, God says to his people. Compassion and care that acts. As I say, we see that supremely in the work of Jesus. It's completed. It's the work of the cross. We also pick up on it in words that Jesus uses as he picks up on maternal images himself in his teaching or just in his spoken word to describe the love that he has for his people. There's a point where Jesus just has to speak out against the religious leaders of his day. They've neglected God's truth, neglected God's people. They've heaped loads of stuff on them. So seven times he speaks out, woes, curses, and so on. They've allowed God's people to be burdened or just be away from God. And so then he then says, having said those seven words, he says, for all God's people, there's a sadness, there's a longing, and he says this, Matthew 23, verse 37, how I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. How I have longed for that, and you were not willing. Jesus is using this image of a mother hen gathering her chicks together under her wings. It's what he wants to do. The compassion, the mercy is there. So the action is to want to gather under the warmth and under the protective covering of the mother hen's wings, as it were. So hear that, will you? God doesn't push you away because you have once again disappointed him. And there are times when we disappoint God. He doesn't tell you you're not good enough, that you need to try harder, to do more to earn his approval. No, he sees us the way a mother hen sees her chicks, in compassionate action, gathering them close. Or like a nursing mother. Let's just pause, shall we? Let's just pray before I go. I've got one more point. Is this all right? Let's just pause and pray at this point. Father, thank you for the cross of Jesus. Thank you for your care and compassion that turns into action. Your giving of yourself that brings life. Thank you for these images that we have of the nursing mum that help us see even more what you are like. Right now, I receive the love that you have for me. I know I don't deserve it. I know it cost you everything, but right now I receive with deep gratitude your unconditional love and care for me that takes away the condemnation, that sets me free to live as you want me to live. Your unconditional love and care that brings healing. Amen. God carries you. He carries you like a mother. God acts with care that leads to action. And finally, God nudges you on and watches over you. It's another image we have within the Bible. But this one is not about the gathering together. It's about God pushing you out of the comfort zone you're at for your own good and maybe for the good of others. We'll read again of a mum in action, and it comes in an Old Testament passage. It contains a song that Moses wrote as he neared the end of his earthly life. It's a song about God's attentive faithfulness, and yet it's a song about the unfaithfulness of God's people and a warning about not being unfaithful. Because for God, his people, they're the apple of his eyes, a lovely phrase that's used in this song. They're the apple of his eyes. And in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11, it goes on to say this: like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions, the Lord alone led him. That's led Jacob, his people, and so on. Do you know, these days, what we can learn from eagle cams in trees near the nest is that it's often the mother eagle taking care, a primary care of the nest and the eaglets, although both parents get involved, and especially when it comes to feeding the ravenous eaglets. The stirring of the nest, as it put it in the passage, comes after weeks of effort from mum and dad. They've been out finding as much food as they can. Like I say, these eaglets are really, really hungry. But these birds, they've been born to soar. Born to collect their own food as well. And so the nest is stirred. The amount of food parents bring into the nest reduces slightly because change is coming. And there are days, if you watch some of the cams, when the fledglings will flap their wings intensely, they'll hop to nearby branches, and then that first clumsy flight from the nest, they disappear from sight before returning later. The thing that stands out if you watch these is the devotion and the watchfulness of the parents, seen as the young eagles gain their wings. Because the watchfulness just continues until they're ready to soar finally once and for all and make their own way, find their own territory. That's how we understand this ancient image. If you look at research, the phraseology of that and how that happens doesn't necessarily happen. We don't have a YouTube video of an eaglet on the back of a mother and so on. But that was a very common image within poetry of the day. And that's how we're to understand God. God who nudges us out of our comfort zone. God who hovers over us, a protective hovering, encouraging us on to all that he has for us. You might find that you're stepping out of the comfort zone of what you've known, and you're stepping into a new experience or a new learning, but it's unknown. Sometimes we can hardly do it because the fear that's there. And yet, this image here is of God nudging us onto a next stage, yet watching over us for our good, ready to lift us, ready to give us the strength we need. Does that speak to you this morning? If it does, take hold of it. I remember when this sort of image spoke very powerfully to Lorraine and myself. There was a time where we were serving in another church. We were in our ninth year, God spoke to both of us. And the call was, would we step out of the comfort zone of what was known? Would we give him a blank sheet of paper? Little did we know that that would take us to bring us to Welwyn Garden City when we said yes. But I tell you, that image of the eagle who's giving wings to soar and fly will nudge us on out of a comfort zone, because we love the team and the church where we were almost as much as we love the team and the church that we're in now. And on what basis would we step out, you know? But it's that God watching over us, time for change, and he would hover over us. Don't let it be fear that's over you. But use this image, a mother eagle. Maybe God could do a selfie so we know what he's like. That's where we started, isn't it? Well, we see he has given that, and that includes the image of him as a mother who carries and carries on carrying, a lifetime thing from womb right through. This selfie paints this picture for us of one who cares and acts out of compassion, never forgetting, never neglecting, just like a nursing mum or like a mum gathering to herself those who are lost when it's needed to do that. This selfie image of God is of God who nudges you on also to all he has for you, but fear not, as the Bible says so many times, do not be afraid. He's watchfully hovering over you, and he's there to help you so you can fly and soar. Let me ask you, which one of those three is most pressing for you right today, that you just want to take hold of something and do some business with God? And it's either telling him that you're relying on that he's revealed of himself right now, or maybe there's something to receive and a healing and wholeness from him. Let's just pray, shall we? And after I prayed, we'll sing a final song as part of our response. Father, thank you for extending our picture of you and extending the way we can relate to you, Almighty Father. We rely on you, who knows us intimately, has carried us, is carrying us, and will carry us through. We thank you that you never abandon or forget us. Thank you that you act out of your care and compassion. And thank you that you don't leave us as we are, but you take us forward, Lord, in taking our next step from here this day, as we reflect on this and as we enter into all that you have laid before us, Lord, may we know you in every way and live free in you, free from fear, free to know your care, free to hear you calling our name over us. Amen. Amen.